Welcome to an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma give their opinions on the latest happenings surrounding Yankees baseball, as well as dive into the hottest topics in the sports world. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma. We are on the road, Willie Nelson style.
Yes, on the road.
At The Rock in beautiful Newark, New Jersey, our home state. Hi to Cory Booker, the fantastic mayor of the great city of Newark.
Very hands-on.
I know if there's a fire here at the Pru, he will be in here. Fireman carrying me out. So, poking a little fun because he's a great mayor and a great guy. And Joe, we're here. We covered the morning skate. We ran into a lot of familiar faces in the New York hockey scene. Kenny Albert, Sam Rosen, Joe Micheletti, as well as John Giannone and Steve Cangelosi, Deb Placey as well, Matt Lachlan. All around great people. And were very gracious to help us out if we needed anything.
And we got to send a big thanks to Mike Levine.
Absolutely.
PR director of the Devils. Really just so accommodating. Wonderful to be here and wonderful to be covering hockey. And this rivalry here on February 5th, 2013. Who would have ever thought, like the lockout as it was going on, that we would be here covering this game. But it's here and We're just so excited
that
we're back.
You got to jump all over it, Joe. And listen, everybody knows who listens to the podcast. You're a Devil fan, a very fervent Devils fan. I'm a Rangers fan. So I just thought it would be fun if, you know, the first time they met since the Eastern Conference Final last year with the Devils.
Yeah, had that one in, Chris.
Yeah,
had that one
Joe.
In.
This is a PG program, or pretty much G, so I will hold my tongue with any expletives there. But anyway, the Devils won that 1-6, 3-2. Adam Henrique, who you'll hear from in just a bit, had the game winner in overtime in Game 6 and sent me with my head in my hands and sent this one to my left. You are right. into a dance of happy, happy, joy, joy, Ren and Stimpy style. But, Joe, as we sit here, the Devils are out to a great start. As we've mentioned in previous podcasts, because we have to mention it every once in a while, hockey's back. We're so happy. And as we sit here today, the Rangers are really starting to shake things up.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked to a good friend of mine, and we'll just call him a source on our way down here. And he is very much into the hockey scene. And he was just telling me that, you know, it's put up or shut up for the Rangers, maybe even tonight. You know, a big win over the Lightning over the weekend. Mm-hmm. The Lightning were streaking away. Sorry for that bad pun there, but I'm so happy they beat Tampa Bay because, number one, it shut Phil Hughes up on Twitter about his bolts. That's number one. Number two, it was just a good win for the Rangers. You know, the Lightning had 12 points. Rangers go in there, you know, they're 3-4. They're reeling after another brutal loss to the Pittsburgh Penguins. They got doubled up earlier in the season, 6-3. Then they were shut out at the Garden, which was just an ugly loss for the Rangers. Now they're even at 4-4. They have 8 points as they head in here to New Jersey tonight. But it just seems like, as it always does at certain points of the season, as we heard David Clarkson say, you know, the Devils got out to a slow start last year.
Right.
And put everything back together towards the end. You know, after 20 games, they found their identity, Joe.
Right.
And you know that better than anyone.
And even this year, the Devils got off to the really hot start. And then all of a sudden, they started playing in all of these overtime games, losing in shootouts and losing in overtime, the overtime defeat to the Canadiens and the Islanders. And, come right back after a bad loss. The only regulation loss was to the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they pretty much got shellacked in that game. But they came back and they won a big game, 3-0, against the Islanders, who are playing so well right now. And that could be a real confidence booster coming into this game. So I expect two top-notch organizations, two top-notch teams, to come in here and play a great game. And as you've alluded to all morning, as you're going to see, we have a lot of interviews with a lot of different players, both on the Rangers and Devils.
In a span of about 25 minutes,
yeah,
by the way.
And we're gonna have those clips for you guys. But really, Chris, you hit it on the head. 48 games, 12 games is a quarter of the season. We're almost at the quarter season mark. Each game is a playoff type atmosphere. You're going to be seeing a lot of Eastern Conference opponents.
Atlantic. Expect it to be chippy.
Yeah, and it's just going to be. It's going to be chippy, but again, the Rock should be rocking tonight with the atmosphere that
absolutely, and there'll be a lot of Rangers you-know-what chants. You know, I'll have to get through that, but thankfully I'll be in the press box and I won't have to take it so much tonight. But I mentioned before I handed it off to Joe, and we'll hear all about the Devils in a second. We're going to start with the Rangers, though. They're the visiting team. We'll get to the home team in a bit. We're going to do Rangers first, and like Joe said, we talked to we were involved in both coaches' press conferences.
Right.
We heard from Pete DeBoer, we heard from John Tortorella, and we got some players as well. We're going to start with John Tortorella because the Rangers, as I mentioned, shook things up. They traded Mike Rupp to the Minnesota Wild, and they get Darryl Powell in exchange. And here's John Tortorella on what Powell brings to the Rangers.
Well, with Powell, it's a guy that can kill penalties, has played in the league, does a lot of little things on the boards. Certainly adds to our depth in a lot of different situations where I can move people around. So we're happy to get him.
All right, so Darryl Powell is in with the team, skated with them this morning in New Jersey at their morning skate. Mike Rupp, as we mentioned, is out. He goes to the Minnesota Wild, and here is John Tortorella on his former player.
Rupper, I don't have a bad word to say about him. I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. I had a tough time getting on the ice as much as I really wanted to. I'm just worried about the speed of the game. He certainly brings some jam and has been a really good teammate. But it's a situation we've talked about. I'm a little concerned about the middle of our lineup and the versatility that we do not have right there right now. And I think it's a good thing for Rupper. Towards the end of his career, he's going to go play. I think this young man we brought in here is going to help us.
You know, Chris, it's funny that you say, you know, you had mentioned it before, a guy like Raul Ibanez, there's not a bad thing that you could have said about Ibanez. Torch says right there's not a bad thing you could have said about Rupp. He was a good teammate, a good player, but they just needed to shake things up. They needed a little bit more versatility.
Well, you heard him. What he said, that, you know, the middle lines, you know, were lacking versatility, and Powell is a guy who could kill penalties, and you heard him also say that he was finding it hard to get Rupp on the ice.
Yeah.
So now he goes to Minnesota, and like he said, he'll be able to play.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
It's good for both sides. The Rangers get somebody who could kill penalties and take defensive zone faceoffs, and the Wild get an edgy, scrappy player in Rupp.
Yeah, and they, you know,
who has some offensive upside. He didn't really score a lot of goals here as a Ranger, but
the Wild don't need that. They have
right.
That's what they brought Parisian for.
Right.
You know, they don't need. They need that guy. Who's
it all ties
scrap
in.
It up. Yeah, exactly.
So we move on, and that's not the only thing the Rangers have done. They also brought up JT Miller, who was their first round draft pick from 2011. Now, this might be, you know, Chris Kreider might have paved the way for this early entrance for JT Miller. He's 20 years old. Tortorella wouldn't say if he was going to play tonight, but he is here.
Yeah.
He's wearing number 47. Powell is number 8, just in case you're keeping track at home. So your new Rangers are 8 and 47.
And one thing I'm really noticing about both teams is you're starting to see, you know, a lot of these guys.
And I don't want to leave them out. Number 40 also, they called up Brandon Machinter from the Whale as well.
And you know, the one thing that you really have to like about both teams is that, you know, they both have veteran presence in the locker rooms. But a lot of these guys are young guys, you know, and we're going to talk to Stefan Matteau, as you know, we mentioned before, the son of the famous Matteau. But again, Adam Larson with the Devils, it's a young group of guys, Adam Henrique, mixed in with a nice group of veterans. And it's the same thing with the Rangers. They're starting to call up some of their young guys, replacing some of the older veterans. Rupp is now out, and now you're going to start to see some of these younger guys get opportunities. And really, these two teams, again, could be, you know, forces for a long time because of the young talent that they have.
Well, we'll see if Miller gets in the game tonight. And here's what John Tortorella had to say about the call-up.
Could you just expand on the decision to bring JT up? You know, the balancing, getting him up here and adding to your depth, and also, you know, continuing the process and his development down there.
Yeah, and that's what we have to look for. We don't want to hurt the process with these kids, Kreider included. And so we want to take a look. If things happen in a good way for him, we'll keep playing him. We'll coach him. But we certainly are always thinking of the process and the development and developing the right way so they build the foundation the correct way.
Okay, so, you know, you can't really argue with that. With the success that Kreider had last year in the postseason, and think about it, the Rangers were skating on their heels.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised they got to a sixth game with the Devils, considering how tired they got because of their first two rounds going seven games each time.
Going seven games. And the Devils, the way their style is, Chris, with that ferocious forecheck. They
just wear you down.
They wear opponents down. And that's what they did with the Flyers last year, and that's what they did with the Rangers.
Oh, they made quick work of the Flyers
last
year.
Yeah, I mean, you just see that forecheck, especially when it's clicking on all cylinders, it's very hard.
The best in the NHL. When it's clicking on all cylinders, there's no forecheck like the Devils' forecheck. But I just don't think anybody was going to be able to forecheck the Kings last year.
No.
They were on ice downhill. We had a little humor, too. And
Tort's showing me something today.
You always get the negative. You get the post-game after a loss,
but
Tortorella.
But even, you know what, even the post-game after a loss, that Tortorella, he's a very funny coach.
He is a perfect fit for New York,
yeah,
in my opinion. He reminds me a lot of Parcells. You know, no nonsense. You know, don't
how
ask.
How could you not? He's a funny guy. The post
he's got that dry sense of humor.
But he showed me a little something with this pregame presser. He showed me that he had he was witty about this answer he had about Ryan Callahan. I was very impressed with it.
Yes,
Chris.
Ryan Callahan, the captain of the Rangers, has the shoulder injury, but he was out there today with the team, skating around, taking some slap shots, some one-timers. I watched him. The shoulder looks fine. Hopefully he'll be back soon. You know, at the beginning when he first got hurt, it was like 10 days to 2 weeks. He looks like he's skating okay. He was banging his stick on the glass, so... And here's what head coach John Tortorella had to say about Callahan. The question that was asked was, will Callahan be involved in contact? And this is the hilarity that ensued.
Were Callahan Kreider cleared for contact?
Ryan Callahan is IR'd, I believe, is he not?
Yeah.
Ryan Callahan's going to have contact no matter if we clear him or not. So that's how I'll answer that question. We really don't make those decisions on Callahan.
All right, so as you could, that got a nice little chuckle out of everybody in the little press conference there with John Tortorella in a very small locker room for the New York Rangers. Devil's locker room was pretty tiny, too. It's amazing how, you know, they're the main attraction in this building now, besides Seton Hall. And
like I said, the main attraction in this building.
And I didn't want to, you know, forget about Seton Hall, but you would think the Devils would have a little bigger area to dress and have the media in there. But it's, you know, it gets the job done, and I don't think the players complain too much about that stuff.
No.
Now, we moved on to some Ranger players after the locker room opened, and we walked in, and first two guys I really wanted to make a beeline to were the two guys. Go ahead, Joe.
No, and you know, it's funny because on the car ride down to New Jersey, Chris really, he zeroed in on these two players on the call with our source because one thing that's been, you know, a lot of people have been very critical of the Rangers to start the season is that they're very top heavy. And the one thing is that top line really has been their only source of offense.
There's
up
nothing
until the
wrong
last
with
game.
The top line.
The top line is amazing.
Nash
has been amazing.
Gabrick, Richards.
Right.
It's amazing.
It's an amazing line. But it's really been a depth issue with their offense. And these two guys.
And that's the same problem they ran into in the postseason last year as well.
Right. And look, these two guys that Chris.
And that's why they brought Nash.
Chris
in.
Is about to, you know, talk about his guys here, his group. You expected a little bit more up to this point,
right?
Out of these two players. So, Chris, You tell us about
as our source said, you know, in that phone conversation, he thinks the Rangers actually started believing all the preseason press when the lockout broke, that they were just going to walk through the rest of the league and pick up the cup and, you know, not even have to play. But you can't do that, as my partner just said, without getting some offense from other lines.
Right.
And the second line for the Rangers, which has Carl Hagelin, Taylor Pyatt, and Derek Stepan.
Right. Stepan and Hagelin were the two guys that you really honed in on because they scored their first goal in the last game.
So Carl Hagelin was the first player I went up to. He was the first one that was ready. And here's what Hagelin had to say about finally getting the monkey off his back and getting his first goal.
No, it's always pressure out there. It doesn't matter. I try to score every game. It's not going to happen, obviously. But, I've been creating a lot of chances. So hopefully, that's what we're going to take with us. Keep creating chances and good things will happen.
This rivalry is like no other, especially in this area. What is it like on the ice against the Devils?
There's always going to be close games every time we play them. It's not a lot of goals, usually two great goaltenders and two teams that play well defensively. So it's, a lot of chirping going on the ice, and, it's always fun games.
How much do you marvel at what Brodeur's been able to do, especially at 40 years of age, start at this season?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. He's been in the league for so long, and he seems to be very competitive. I don't know the guy, but, our goal tonight is just to get a couple on him.
Between anybody in this locker room, is there any worry that you guys are maybe not out of the gate the way you wanted to go, and maybe this game is a turning point of the season?
I don't think anyone's worried. Guys just want to play their game, I think we played really well last game, so hopefully we can build off that. We know coming in here that we need to play just as hard as we did last game to have success.
And that last one's a big one, Joe. You got to ask if there's any worry going on in that locker room, because a team that should have started a lot better than they have, and they've looked lost in both Pittsburgh losses. That team looked absolutely lost. The 6-3 loss, the 3-0 loss, it, as our source said, it was like pond hockey. And when you see something that bad, and the first game, when you hear John Tortorella say after the game, "I didn't take Henrik Lundqvist out of the game because of his play.
Right.
I took him out because of the play in front of him."
Right.
Something's not right. Could it be that, Nash comes in, he's new, and they only have a week of camp? Who knows? The rest of this team has been together, though.
Right. No, you're
absolutely. Most of the rest of the team has been together, especially this line. Pyatt's a new addition, but Hagelin and Stepan have played together. And Derek Stepan's the next person I talked to, and both Hagelin and Stepan going into that Lightning game over the weekend, neither one of them had a goal. Both of them got their first goals. We asked Hagelin about getting that first one, and here's what Stepan had to say about lighting the lamp for the first time.
Derek, you and Carl got your first goals against the Lightning. Feel any less pressure out there for you?
Yeah, it's always tough to get the first one, but I think as a line we played really well. I think Taylor, me and Carl got our first, but I think Taylor did a lot of work that, kind of goes unnoticed after that game. And, as a line, we worked extremely hard, and we found ways to, get the job done.
How do you try to build off that tonight here against the Devils?
Just continuing to, get better at your game. And as a line, we're going to continue to try to get better. And as an individual, you continue to try to get better one game at a time.
Is there any worry in the locker room that you guys didn't get out to the start maybe you wanted to get out to, and that the season is shortened and extra pressure on the team?
Well, in a perfect world, we'd like to start 8-0, but that's not the way it went, and a team had some stuff we had to figure out as a group and kind of get ourselves going, and I think each day we're getting better, and that's something that's important.
It's only the 9th game of the season, but in a 48-game season, you have to think about that. Do you think with the win over the Lightning and a win tonight against the Devils, that could start propelling you in the right direction?
Yeah, I think every single night you want to win a hockey game. It's just like you said, it's a shortened season, so every game is really important. And, I think it all comes back to just getting better as a team, and that's all you can really focus on in such a short schedule, is just continuing to work as a team to increase our our value and how we play.
How do you get to a goaltender like Martin Brodeur, how successful he's been at the age of 40, especially starting this year the way he has?
Yeah, it's like any other goaltender league. You got to find ways to get pucks and bodies in front of the net, and you know, that's something that our team is, you know, continuing to work on. And you know, you got to just find a way to get ugly ones at points.
So another, you know, another player you have to ask the question, Joe. I had to ask Stepan same thing. Is there any worry? You heard his answer, and going up against Brodeur, you know, it's like the Berlin Wall when that guy is between the pipes for the Devils. Mm-hmm. You know, I was shocked that, you know, the Islanders were able to put five in against them. The one was, you know,
it's just funny
overtime,
but being here even for the morning skate, Chris, watching Brodeur,
the glove, that one glove save, and the guy who shot it just looks at him and starts laughing.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And Brodeur turned towards us and was laughing too.
I mean, you get to see him every game, but to see him, you know, even in a morning skate where, you know, again, they're not going
through
full
the motions,
speed.
Right.
This guy is ridiculous, Chris.
Something that I caught, Joe, and I don't know if you did, but something that I caught, if you watch Mark Teixeira hit in Yesmo, if you will, his eyes, if you watched Wade Boggs back in the day, his eyes, when a pitch comes in, he would follow a 98-mile-an-hour fastball
right into
from the pitcher's hand to the glove.
Yeah.
Brodeur, today, one of the saves he made, he gloved it, threw it up out of his glove, and hit it with his stick. The focus, though, following the puck the entire way in, just the eye, hand, everything, the coordinate, it's just unbelievable. You know, I'm going to be 40 in August.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's 40 already.
I mean, you can't even catch your daughters.
No.
He's catching 90-mile-an-hour pucks coming at him.
It's just, it's unreal what the, you know, and as a Ranger fan,
You tip your hat.
It's not fair. It's like I said before on other podcasts. You hate them,
well,
like, but you
said,
have to respect them.
Watching the Yankees and the Devils my whole life, you know, you look at it and you just marvel at what Brodeur, Jeter, and Mariano Rivera have been able to do throughout their entire career. And Chris, I was a kid when these guys came up, and now, you know, just look at it. It's really mind blowing.
And we can't talk about the one goaltender without talking about the other goaltender, and he's pretty good himself, Henrik Lundqvist, the king, the gold medal winner for Sweden.
Chris kind of was getting on me before because I have a different nickname for the king.
Yeah, we won't get into that.
But he was a very nice man.
Yes.
Now, I don't want to say what I called him, the queen, but really.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
After he was so gracious to us.
He was very gracious to us, but really, Chris, in my belly, in my gut,
mm-hmm.
I will always be a Devils fan and have to knock everything about the Rangers. Uh-huh. So that's what I have to say about that.
But he was gracious enough to give us a couple of minutes for a couple of questions. And the first thing I asked the king was how important this game is, being that it's a short season, but a win tonight, what it would mean to the Rangers and his club.
No, it's only the ninth game of the season, Henrik, but how big is this game tonight here in New Jersey for you guys?
Well, it's important for us to you know, get a couple wins together here and start climbing in the standings. Always fun to come into this building. It's a great challenge for us. They're a good team, and they always play well here at home. So, you know, we had a great game in Tampa. Discipline game, I think that's the key for us. We can't be in the box too much.
You're a tremendous goaltender in your own right. You're a gold medal winner. But when you stare across the ice and you see Martin Brodeur, what goes through your mind when you play these guys every time?
Again, it's a fun challenge when you play against guys that, you know they're going to show up with an A game. You have to match it. You have to play well. And then you just need to prepare and push yourself to play a great game to be able to win. So.
With the shortened season, have you found all these games have been like a playoff-type atmosphere?
It's been intense. It's been good. I think the atmosphere has been great in every building. The fans are happy, and we're happy we're back. So far, it's been good. We just need to win a little bit more, and it's going to be great.
So as Henrik just said, playoff type atmosphere, and he said it's been intense, it's going to be great. And you know, if you take a second and just think about it, he's talking about tonight too, because it's going to be intense and it's going to be great here at the Rock for their first meeting since game six, of course, where Adam Henrik scored the overtime game-winning goal and sent the Devils to the Stanley Cup Finals, where they lost to the LA Kings. Yeah. But let's face it, I think anybody from the Eastern Conference would have been the sacrificial lamb to the LA Kings last year. They were just on an unbelievable run.
It's funny because for a lot of Devils fans, if you're a Yankee fan as well and you're listening to this podcast, it's almost like 2003 where the Yankees beat the Red Sox and then they lose to the Marlins in the World Series. That's kind of almost the same feeling Devils fans had. It was, you know, unfinished business. Would have liked to raise the cup above the head, but really, the Ranger series, you know, it not only was it a great win, but it was a win that, you know, the 94 series left a lot of a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
And it could have gone either way.
And Brodeur finally gets them in the
and
Eastern Conference Finals.
And that was his first full year.
Right, and he finally, after all these years, gets them in the Eastern. He's gotten them before in the playoffs.
But never
but
in the
not
finals.
In the Eastern Conference right. Finals. That's the big difference. But look, Lundqvist, again, you know, he even had gracious remarks about Brodeur. There is a respect for, you know, from organization to organization. We saw it today. You know, in the Rangers clubhouse, they had nothing but great things
to say. Hockey's just different.
About the Devils. The Devils had nothing but great things to say about the Rangers. There is a mutual respect for both
Sean Avery's not in the locker room anymore.
That is true. And Chris, look, while we're here, when we come back to Off the Wall here on the road from the Rock in the Newark, New Jersey at the Prudential Center, we're gonna touch on some Devils hockey.
We're gonna flip the script.
We're
and
gonna
go to the
flip
home
the
team.
Script. So keep it right here. Again, Off the Wall, Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma on the road.
Want to see what everyone is talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning original video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features only at YesNetwork.com. Welcome back to Off the Wall. Once again, here are Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma.
And we're back.
Oh, boy.
Just kidding. You know, we're here on the road, off the wall, here at the Prudential Center, The Rock in Newark, New Jersey. Devils, Rangers, their first big meeting of the season since the Eastern Conference Finals. And really, in a 48-game schedule, every game is a big game. The Rangers have not come out of the box. Really, they struggled. Have a little momentum now, but really the Devils came out strong, struggled a little bit. Have a big win against the Islanders, who are playing very good hockey as well. All three teams in the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area playing very well. And this game is very important for momentum. It's very important for confidence. And it's very important that the Devils, get off to a hot start and get this crowd into the game and get those Devil fans to be louder than the Ranger fans that are going to be in this building tonight.
I don't
think
that's going to be an issue.
I don't think so either. In the past, it was.
Not anymore.
And
not when you're playing the Winnipeg Jets. Let's just say, if it's a full season on a cold night in November.
Yeah, no, I know.
And you hear Rangers, you know what. I don't think you're going to have any issue with Devils fans drowning out Ranger fans.
One thing that the Devils and the Rangers have struggled with this season, playing the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Devils' only regulation loss this year has come at the hands of the Penguins, who just absolutely destroyed the Devils. And in the last game against the Islanders in the 3-0 win, look, Brodeur wasn't in the net, So he's going to be in net tonight for the,
Hedberg only has 98 more shutouts to go.
Yeah, I mean, but again, a great 1-2 punch of goalies that the Devils have, giving Brodeur a little respite before this big game here at the Rock. And Martin Brodeur is just going to be ready to face off against Lundqvist, who's going to be the at the other end of the ice.
I think it's appropriate, very appropriate, that we begin our Devils segment with the guy who ended the Rangers' lives last year, Joe, and that's your boy, Adam Henrique.
Adam Henrique, my question to you before we get to this soundbite, you know, growing up, and we're going to get to Stephane Matteau later, but growing up, Matteau was synonymous with me with just heartbreak. Mm-hmm. It was hearing that name, hearing the Sam Rosen call, you know, just hearing Matteau.
That was Howie Rose.
Oh, Howie Rose, that's right. Sorry about that.
That was Howie
hearing
Rose.
Hearing the Howie Rose call, yes.
And the Rangers have one more hill to climb, baby. That is Mount Vancouver. The Rangers are headed to the finals.
That's right. The great Howie Rose, by the way. He does a great job with the Islanders.
Yes, he does.
But really, is the name Henrique now, do you get that same feeling? I know you met him today, and he's a great kid.
He is.
But is that
name... And he wears my number. I wear his number, I should say.
Is that name now synonymous with the heartbreaking defeat?
I don't think it falls into the same category. Like, it was a tough loss for the Rangers last year, but I think a lot of Ranger fans, especially in my circle of Ranger friends, saw the writing on the wall towards the end of that series, and we all knew that if it went long, we weren't going to be much longer for the playoffs because of the first two series that the Rangers endured. And the way that ended the Devils, I mean, because that, the way the Rangers came back in game six, they were down 2-0 late. If my memory serves me correctly, they were down 2-0 late in the second, and I'm pretty sure Leach lit it up and scored one, and then Messier, of course,
went nuts
and scored the hat trick in the third period to give the Rangers that win. So I think with the Rangers on the precipice in game six in New Jersey, because it was 2-2-1-1-1 back then, I think that the fact that Messier predicted it, the guarantee, and then the way Matteau ended it in overtime, I just think that overtime supersedes last year. And not because I'm a Ranger fan, not because I'm trying to get you riled up.
No, just
the fact of how everything...
And it was a game six. I mean,
it was a game six as opposed to a game seven.
Right.
It was still an elimination game. But
look,
the way
the
Rangers came
is,
back and won game six and then won game seven with that Matteau wraparound, that's...
Well, and the Devils were the upstart team that year. Martin Brodeur was essentially a rookie.
Pretty much. It was his second year, but first full year.
Yeah, and really, the Devils were the upstart team. But again, we go back to Adam Henrique. Look, Chris, this is a kid that...
I have to say, after meeting him for one time, and I know I'm a sucker for this, and I always get guffed from Troy Benjamin. Oh, he's your guy now. You talk to him one time. But Troy's a producer at Yes Network. But he was lighthearted with it. He was fun with it. And it's just nice to see athletes who get it every once in a while.
Totally gets it. And one thing that he had to deal with this offseason, he had a thumb injury. He was out 6 to 8 weeks. Comes back. He's only played three games this year. But in the three games, he's made a difference for this Devils team. A bright young star, a stud for this organization, you know, could soften the blow of losing Zach Parise. And, you know, we caught up with Adam Henrique. Chris, you actually posed the first question about that infamous goal. So let's throw it to Adam Henrique.
Adam, that goal last year in overtime, you know, you said Ranger fans come up to you and they say they hate you. What about Devil fans? What's it like for them when they see it?
They say they love me. A lot of people, you know, thank me for the goal. And you know, and it's just, it's still fun. It's fun to hear the reaction from fans, you know, Rangers or Devils. It's still funny to see. And, but, you know, I still get excited about it. It still puts a smile on my face thinking about it and seeing, you know, the replays and the reaction from the fans. And probably the biggest goal of my career. And, you know, it's one that I'll never forget.
Obviously, you guys get up for every game. But when you play the Rangers, I mean, you have to see red when you play this team. It gets really chippy out there. Can you just describe this rivalry for everybody out there?
Well, me, for coming in last year, you know, after we played them a couple games early in the season, you can really see how the rivalry picks up. And, you know, we had a lot of exciting games against them last year. It's always a battle. You know, they're going to bring their best. We're going to bring our best. And, you know, it's fun for the fans. It's fun for us. We get excited for these games. And, you know, we're looking forward to the battle tonight.
You've gotten out to a great start this year. Do you feel like with the shortened season that every game is kind of like a postseason game where you need to bring that intensity every game?
It really is. You know, you can't afford to have
really that slow start, or you know, maybe last year I think we really found our identity about 20 games in, and really turned things around, and then you know we went from I think maybe 10th or 11th place into the playoffs, obviously, and you know the team's playing well. There's still little areas where you know there's always room for improvement, but you know I feel like we got a good read on things, and you know things are coming together. The guys are playing well, battling, and that's something we're gonna have to carry right through the end of the season.
Best of luck to you this year. We really appreciate the time, and I have to tell you, I'm one of those Ranger fans who doesn't like it.
That's okay.
You know, Chris, Henrique brings up, you know, the point again. You're hearing it from everybody. You can't afford to have that slow start.
They had
it last year, and they're, you know...
And, you know, I think that helps them.
Right.
Because they know they can't do that this year.
Right. And that seems to be the theme of both teams, that now, you know, even with the little swoon that the Devils had with all those overtime games and a couple of losses and shootouts and in overtime, and only getting the 1 point instead of the full 2 points. And the Rangers, really just, they're 4-4. They've got their 8 points in 8 games, which is, it's tough. That's a tough way to start. They all need to pick it up. One guy that's been really great for the Devils, a 30-goal scorer from a year ago. You know, it's funny, the one thing I always say about David Clarkson is that, you know, his style might be different. He's on the ice, he looks like a big, brooding guy. We got to see him today. He's not as big as I thought he was, but, you know, when he's out there on the ice, he's an intimidating force. He's a forward that, you know, can put that intimidation factor into the other teams, but yet again, he can score those 30 goals that he had last year, Chris.
Hockey players are men, Joe.
And you know what's
what's
funny about Clarkson is I always say, you know what, he shoots it at the net and prays that it goes in. He's shooting from everywhere, hoping that the puck goes in. But you know what? More times than not, he's been successful in this league. And you know, once again, David Clarkson having a nice season in 8 games, 5 goals. 4 assists. He's already got 9 points. So he makes a difference on this team. And again, the theme of the day is playoff hockey because of the shortened schedule and the rivalry. It's all about the rivalry. So here's David Clarkson talking to us before the game.
You know what? It's going to be playoff hockey. Anytime these two teams meet, and it's always exciting for the fans and exciting for us to be a part of. So it's one of those games that doesn't take too much to get up for. I think you're ready to go right from that morning of the game, and it's going to be exciting. But right from the start, we've got to be ready to go.
You know, playing here at the Rock, you know, the fans are going to be behind you. Does that even heighten it even more, you know, being that you're going to be playing in front of your home crowd?
100%. You know what? It's always great to be home. And these fans don't know how much they did for us last year in the playoffs. I think they were fantastic being behind us, and that and the cheering from them really, really pushed us on. So hopefully there's a lot of them out there tonight, and hopefully we can put a good game together for them.
Yeah, you had a little bit of a rough stretch, but then you come back and you know beat the Islanders the way you did. A confidence builder for you guys?
I think so. You know what? We were finding a way to get behind the eight ball early in games, and we were coming back, and we ended up tying, which, you know, isn't great, but it isn't bad, you know. So we've only lost that one game this year in regulation, and we've got to continue to play like we did in Long Island, play our style of game, and play the system that the coaching staff is asking of us. And if we do that and work hard, I think we'll be okay.
You know, you have this short season here. What does every game mean to you guys right now?
Yeah, it's huge. It's playoff. Every time you play, you know, you lose 2 games in a row and 2 other teams win, it's, you know, you're behind the eight ball 4 to 8 points. So we've got to be ready to go right from the drop of the puck every single night. And it's so important, like you said, the schedule, but it's actually been fun playing it. It's something that I've never been through, so it's like that playoff race, getting ready for the playoffs.
And one more question for me. Do you still marvel at the fact that you play right in front of Martin Brodeur and see what he's still doing at 40 years old? I mean, does it amaze you?
Yeah, it does. You know what? He's a close friend, and he's someone that's always in this room been a leader. But to see him out there and playing the way he's playing is it's amazing. You know, you get to sit across from a room from a guy that he's one of our hardest working guys in practice, and like you said, one of the best goalies to ever play.
You know, Chris, it's It's funny because he mentioned that, you know, again, we went back to Brodeur at the end there, that Brodeur was a close friend of his. And, you know, even at 40 years old, Brodeur has really kind of taken in some a lot of the younger guys and has been the veteran presence, this veteran leader on this team. You know, what was your impression of being in that Devils, you know, clubhouse today? Well, and being in that locker room, as a Ranger fan, what were your impressions of the Devils?
I got to say a little bit of my hatred for the Devils kind of went away just because of, look, it's not just the access, it's how they carry themselves. It's how they treat the media. We heard Derek Stepan say, "I appreciate it," when we got done with his interview. He appreciated it.
Yeah.
Usually that's me saying, "Thank you for your time. I appreciate it." You heard Stepan say, "I appreciate it." Just very accommodating, and, you know, they get it. They're trying to promote the league after the lockout. They're trying to get fans back into it, and I think fans are back already. I just think hockey fans were starved just to get hockey fans were just starved to get the game back.
Last year, with the Devils and the Rangers being in that Eastern Conference Finals, a big city like L.A. winning the Cup, a lot of different teams. I mean,
they were coming off a great year, just like the NBA before their lockout.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's the whole thing.
The Dallas-Miami final where the Mavericks won,
right.
It was just a tremendous final, and they lock out.
Yeah,
so
it you know, it is what it is. They're back now. They're ready to go. And look, the Devils are going to go as far as their goalie is going to let them go this year, Martin Brodeur. Right now, in his six games played, he's 3-1 with the two overtime losses, you know, with a 2.75 goals against. His save percentage a little down this year, but I'm sure that's going to improve. And we talked about this before the season, Chris. This shortened schedule could be nothing but positive for a guy who's an older player, who's going to need his
especially
sea
when you
legs.
Have Hedberg behind
yeah,
him.
He's going to need his sea legs under him once the playoffs roll around. And the good thing is, you know, in the eight games, there's already that 6-2 split. Hedberg's gotten two games. Brodeur's gotten his six games. He's going to be fresh for the playoffs. They just need Brodeur to be Brodeur. And, you know, Pete DeBoer, before the game, you know, compared the two squads. But again, Martin Brodeur, his name came up.
Well, there was very little difference between the two teams. I think you saw that. I mean, obviously, the story of our playoffs, not just against the Rangers, but against everybody, was you know, how well Marty played and the contributions we got from the depth of our lineup. You know, and I think the Rangers series, that was the same formula for success.
You know, it's funny, he talked about the formula of success being Martin Brodeur and the depth of the lineup. You know, you have the ultimate goaltender back there and depth on your roster, you're not going to lose a lot of games in the NHL. And that's the one thing that the Rangers, they have the goalie, but depth has been a little bit of an issue for this team. This is a team that's coming off their number one seed in the East, but Chris, you know, that seems to be their Achilles heel right now, and maybe this trade really helps the Rangers a little bit in that department.
Well, you would hope so, Joe. You hope that Powell brings more than just the penalty kill and faceoff wins. You hope he brings a little bit of an offensive pop to the lineup as well. And hopefully also JT Miller, he comes up, and he's a positive for this club. And, you know, again, I said it before and I'll say it again, Chris Kreider's success last year, if Kreider wasn't in the playoffs, the Rangers don't go as far as they go because his legs were the freshest legs out there. And you could tell on every shift, especially against the Capitals in that seven-game series that the Rangers ended up winning in seven.
Yeah, and Chris, you know, we talked about Adam Henrik and we talked about, his moment of glory in this rivalry, he'll always be remembered in the history of this wonderful and storied rivalry for that goal. We got a chance to catch up with a young man who...
18 years old, by the way.
18 years old. And just to throw it out there, your first question right off the bat was, the kid was born in February 1994.
He was three or four months old.
When his father scored his infamous goal against the New Jersey Devils. But boy, was just a great kid and talked about being on the other side of this rivalry, being a Devil, his father being such a big part of the legacy of the Rangers and the 1994 Cup win, and really having a legendary status among Ranger fans. So here is the junior, Stefan Mateau.
So when your dad scored that goal, you were like 3-4 months old.
February 23rd, maybe.
Right. I'm sure you didn't see it, but you know of it. What did that moment mean to you as you grew up with your dad?
I've seen it so many times on clips and on TV and stuff. It's great, you know. But at the same time, it's my father. You know, it's nothing. You know, I don't see him as a legend. You know, he's my everyday best friend. So, it's definitely great, especially now to be part of the Devils organization. It's ironic. It's funny, but it's great.
I consider him a legend in my own mind, but that's okay. He's not my dad. He played for both of these teams too. So you're not going to play tonight, but seeing this game tonight, what kind of emotions are you going to have not being on the ice?
I'm just glad to still be in the NHL. You know, I'm still practicing with these guys and I'm working hard every day. So I'm just taking it day by day, and it's I want to be out there as much as anyone else wants to be out here, if not more. But I'm just still happy to be here. I'm just going to work hard every day.
What has it been like to be up here with these guys?
It's been great. It's been a great learning experience. It's been a great start to my career. You know, playing 5 games in the NHL at 18, it's pretty special, and not a lot of kids get to do that. And just learning from the pros, it's a great experience.
And what kind of advice has your dad given you at this young age to be at this level?
Stay low key off the ice, and when you're on the ice, do something to get noticed. And everything he's been telling me since I've been growing up, being here is really the first time I've actually seen what he meant. And it's such a different game. The guys are so much stronger and faster, but every little thing is just built up to now.
You know, the drought for the Rangers has been the length of your life, and now you get to keep them out even more if you continue to play with the Devils. How does that make you feel?
It doesn't feel too long. 18 years old doesn't feel too long, but
for us it does.
That's what I'm saying. For some people it seems pretty long, but what was it, the Rangers last time? 40 years?
1940 and then 1994.
4 years, yeah. So it's
thanks for reminding me.
But it's going to be great to watch.
Stefan, best of luck to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
You know, Chris, again, great answers from, it's funny that he's 18 years old and he didn't seem like he was 18 years old. He carried himself so well.
Like a professional. Well, that comes from his father, too.
That's a key. You know, you get a kid that's 18 years old who's been around the game his entire life, knowing what his father went through with media and everything else. And, that's the difference between I feel like when you're an athlete's son, you have a bit of a step up, on everybody else. Because, you've been there. You've been around your whole life, like a Ken Griffey Jr. and Barry Bonds.
Also a lot of pressure on you, too.
Yeah,
because you wear the same name on your back that carries that just that the New York Rangers fans out there, they'll always remember that call. They'll always remember that goal. Propelled them to their first Stanley Cup championship since 1940.
And it's just funny now that Lamoriello drafts him and he's got a chance to do some damage against said Rangers.
As
and
I said, he can keep them out of the cup for years to come.
It's just, That's what's going to make this rivalry continue to be special. Looking at the Devils, we talked to some of the guys on the Rangers, but looking at these Devils, we talked to guys that could be the future of this franchise. Mm-hmm. We saw Adam Larson in there. He's got a chance to do some damage. Wonderful to see that both organizations are probably going to be going at it for a very long time. Even when it's all said and done and the dust settles and Martin Brodeur is long gone from this game, I'm sure Lou Lamoriello and the New Jersey Devils will do something to reload and continue for them to be just competitive year in and year out as we sit here on the road in Newark, New Jersey at The Rock. I'm sure that the Devils are going to be a force for a very long time.
I'm just going to go out on a limb here as we wrap this up, Joe, and I've had a great time so far today. It's been nonstop work since we got here, but if this is work,
but yeah, I mean,
I really could care less. It's just such a privilege to be here. I want to thank the Devils and Mike Levine again for all their help in getting us credentialed for this event. The first time these two teams met since Game 6 last year, as we mentioned, and I think what this game comes down to tonight is what Derek Stepan alluded to, if the Rangers could get some ugly ones against Marty Brodeur.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
Some bad angle, some rebounds, something. A ricochet off the backboards and hits Brodeur in the back and goes in. I mean, something. He might have eyes behind his head. I don't know. That one might not even get in. But regardless, I just think every time these two teams meet, it's playoff hockey, especially in a shortened season. Tonight's going to be fun.
Yeah, and, you know, Chris, like I said, we don't cover hockey a lot. We talk about more hockey than the network covers on our, you know,
podcast. I don't think hockey has been said on the air yet.
No, and you know, other than, you know, during the Mike Francesa show when Greek does his, you know, blue line report.
Yeah, Anthony Greek is a huge hockey fan and does the game a great service for what he does and what he brings to the team.
And look, we want to be, you know, being that we do this show week in and week out, we want to give you the best of New York sports. We don't want to limit it to just, you know, Yankees baseball
and
Mets
basketball.
We're
hoping you're at work and you have iTunes somewhere at work and on a lunch break or on a break or when you get home before the game. You know what? You can get prepared for the game by, you know, before any pregame comes on, you could flip on the Off the Wall podcast and, you know, you've got one-on-one interviews that Joe and I did today along with both coaches. I mean, what else could you want before to get ready for a Devils-Rangers game? And this is what we wanted to do. I mean, am I going to sit here and say it wasn't for us a little bit? Of course it was. I mean, this idea came to me maybe a week and a half ago in my office when we were doing the podcast. I said, you know, it'd be fun. Let's go to the Rock. Let's do Devils-Rangers. And the fact that we're here and we're doing it and we were able to get all this access, it's just amazing. And I can't say thank you enough to both organizations.
And I'm sure our bosses are not going to like this comment that I'm going to make right now. But look, bottom line is, Devils and Ranger fans, you're going to watch the game tonight. Even though it's on the other network, they're going to watch the game. But it's going to be a great night for New York sports because
Nets-Lakers
is on our air. So it's very easy to flip back and forth. You know, a shameless plug here for Yes, too. We have Nets and Lakers. And the,
which isn't too
like
shabby
I said,
either.
Devil Ranger fans.
The only time the Lakers are in Brooklyn this year. So
you're going to watch the game anyway. So I'm not really promoting anything that's not going to be. It's self-promotion.
Joe, Devils Rangers, I'm sorry. People are going to watch it.
Of course.
People
of course.
Are going to watch
so it. So tonight's going to be a great night for New York sports. Just keep flipping back and forth to those games and really take it all in because these are the games, like we've said over and over again, 48 games. These are the games that matter most. And when the smoke clears at the end of the season, and if the Rangers lose this one tonight and go to 4-5, that could be a real heartbreaker for them. You know, again, the Devils, they can afford to take this blow tonight if they lose the game. It would be a heartbreaker, but they can afford to take the blow. This is a must-win.
This is what we talked about in the car on the way down. And I tried to ask this question to the Rangers when we were in the locker room. They kind of alluded it, though. I just think, and call me crazy, I think coming off that Lightning win, which is a great win, you got to win tonight.
Lundqvist
said it. You got to put some wins together, and you got to start climbing in the standings. This is the game. You beat the Lightning. Come out here and show me something. Beat Martin Brodeur and the New Jersey Devils. Okay, get to 10 points, get to 5-4, get to a point behind New Jersey.
And
then away we go.
Right.
You cannot come in here and lose this game and drop to 4-5, have 8 points, have the devil. Listen, I know it's early, but as Yogi used to say, it gets early late, especially this season with 48 games. So the Rangers have to and the Rangers, you know, they have to start showing they could score on more than that first line. Just the Lightning game isn't enough. You know, Taylor Pyatt, he has been scoring. But Hagelin, and Stepan got their first against the Lightning. That has to continue. John Tortorella has to continue to get production from other lines. Their defense has to get better. Lundqvist is a great goaltender. He needs great play in front of him, though.
Just to show you, Chris, through eight games, Gabrick has 8 points, okay? Richards has 7 points, okay? Nash has 7 points.
Okay? And then Piatt has 5. He has 3 goals and 2 assists.
Right. Piatt and Delzato
has 2 goals, 4 assists.
Right. And Stahl are the only other guys that have more than 4 points on this team.
And that's got to change. If they want to run through the schedule like everybody predicted they were going to, offense has to start coming, and it has to start coming in buckets. And guess what doesn't come in buckets? Offense, when you're playing the New Jersey Devils and Martin Brodeur is between the pipes. So that's why this is such a big game for the Rangers to show something big time. They made the trade. They trade Rupp. They bring in Powell. We'll see what Powell does. We'll see what JT Miller does if he gets on the ice tonight. Chris Kreider paved the way for him. Kreider's still out. Callahan's still out, but he did practice today with the team. So did Kreider. He skated at the morning skate. So positives there. Maybe we'll see Callahan in the next week or two.
And, you know, Chris, looking at the Rangers' schedule, it doesn't get any easier. I mean, you got the Isles next in 2 days. You got the Lightning at Boston, Isles again, Caps, Canadians, Senators, Canadians.
Nonstop.
It's just nonstop. It's nonstop.
So you can't come here and lose today because, as Lundqvist said, you got to start stringing some wins together, and it starts here in New Jersey. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go, Rangers.
Stop. And the one thing about this matchup that's very interesting. First of all, they see each other here at the Rock again for the last game of the season. But these two teams do not see each other again until at MSG March 19th. That's a long time in a 48-game schedule between games of seeing, you know, your biggest rival. So, you know, this is a huge game. This is a game where it can make a statement for both teams.
All right, Joey, that's going to wrap it up for our On the Road, Off the Wall podcast here at The Rock. It's a pregame podcast to get you set for the Devils and Rangers tonight, the first meeting of this lockout shortened 2013 season. Away we go, Joe. Let's go Devils. Let's go Rangers. We will be in the press box sitting on our hands tonight. We'll get out and mingle with the fans every once in a while. We will not be wearing our colors, though. But we hope you enjoyed it. We hope you enjoyed all the sound that we got today. And we hope you enjoyed the podcast. And if we get some positive feedback, who knows? Maybe we'll do this again.
Absolutely.
Go down to Trenton, see Mike Ashmore.
Yeah, he's great. He was here today, always covering the Devils and hockey. And he covers everything. He's everything Trenton. So,
by the way, just speaking of Ashmore, Brandon Machinter, we hardly knew ye, he tweets, assigned to Connecticut after skating this morning. JT Miller, likely still a go, though. So thank you for that. By the way, Callahan, Eminger, and Baron were the last three Rangers on the ice. I had that picture up on Twitter. Kreider could slide into the lineup tonight then. So Kreider could play tonight. So Mike Ashmore, thanks for that late breaking Twitter news.
Always getting stuff here on Off the Wall.
Yes, yeah, see that.
Scouring the even
so
just
how about that for
social media.
He was wearing his whale shirt underneath his practice stuff today for the Rangers, and he gets sent back to Connecticut. It's a short ride, but
yeah,
tough for the kid.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's it for us on the Off the Wall podcast. We will see you next time, everybody. For Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Sheeran.
The Off the Wall podcast comes to you each week on iTunes and YesNetwork.com. If you like what you're listening to, simply subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you have an extra minute, leave a comment and rating.